We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It is time for the business of sports. We do it periodically right here on CCO. Eric Nelson with you, 5:37 on a sports Saturday. And, of course, the star of the show, Billy Robertson, Commissioner, WCHA. A long and storied career in marketing with the Timberwolves, the Wild, the Ducks, and, of course, the Angels. And, Billy Rob, happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, Eric, and all your listeners out there. What a great time of year this is.
Yeah, it really is festive. So much going on. And, of course, sports really never takes a break, not even Christmas or New Year's. So a lot to get into. Let's start, Billy, with the U of M. I know you're close with Mark Coyle, the AD. What are you hearing about the Outback Bowl and the bounce that the Gophers are getting after a successful season? It was a definite letdown against Wisconsin, but nonetheless, a 10-win year. They're off to Tampa New Year's Day. Are they getting a bounce? Are people going to travel?
Well, what I'm told so far is that there's a lot of Gopher fans heading to Tampa for the Outback Bowl because of their success this year and because of the momentum that was built throughout the season. And this is the first ever appearance for the University of Minnesota playing in Tampa in this particular bowl game. And it's one of the prestigious ones because it's on January 1. And a lot of people, as you can imagine, want to get away from the cold weather, even though it's a beautiful day today in the Twin Cities and the state of Minnesota. They want to get away for New Year's and spend some time in a warm destination, and Tampa is certainly one of those and one of the best places for a bowl game I could think for Gopher fans. So what I'm hearing is that the travel agencies, the ticket demands for University of Minnesota are really high for this game, and much better than it was at the Citrus Bowl several years ago when Jerry Kill took his team to that bowl game down in Orlando.
Billy, we know that the Gophers are trying to get people here in Minnesota to go down to Tampa. But as you well know, you've been to Florida many times, so have I. Up and down that Gulf Coast, Fort Myers, spring home of the Twins, up into the Tampa-St. Pete area. A lot of Minnesota people have relocated down there. Do the Gophers try to reach out to some of those people, to alumni, and get them on board as well?
Well, they sure do, Eric. I know they've had several meetings with their Florida contingency. And I've been in the Naples area before at WCHA league meetings when the Gophers have had some fundraising events down there with some of their influential donors, and I think they're going after them and their friends. But there are a lot of what they call snowbirds living in the Florida area, and in particular in the Tampa area and surrounding parts of that big state. And I think they're going to get a good crowd. I think they're going to have more than 20,000 Gopher fans, from what I understand. And that's a really good showing for the University of Minnesota, and it proves that if you put a really good product on the field and you get the momentum, fans will come. But I think the other piece to this, Eric, I know we're talking specifically about the Outback Bowl, but Mark Coyle and his staff have to really be thinking about how do they turn more people in the state of Minnesota into Gopher fans and sell more tickets, individual tickets, packages, and season tickets. And that's going to be a big push and a win in this January 1st game, Eric, will be a big plus for them if they can do that over a tough Auburn SEC team. It's going to be a challenge, but if they can win that game, I do predict that their season ticket base will take a huge jump, and that's really something that the Gophers look for.
Yeah, and it is a critical game, Billy Rob, because as you laid it out, Auburn's out of the SEC, generally looked at as the top conference in college football. Auburn has a tremendous history, Bo Jackson, Cam Newton, guys like that, Pat Sullivan back in the day. And if Minnesota wins, it takes some of the sting of the Badger loss away, and it's a great building block to next year. However, if the Gophers lose, that's 3 out of 4 losses to end the year and not the way you want to finish up. So I think the stakes are clearly high for Minnesota. We'll see how it plays out. Meanwhile, Monday night, another monster matchup, border battle, Green Bay, Minnesota. Monday night football. Once upon a time, Billy Robb, it was the thing in the NFL. It's been replaced by Sunday night football. You can only watch it if you have cable. Does MNF still have cachet?
Well, I think the problem they're having right now is they don't have the same cachet back in the day when it was Howard Cosell, Frank Gifford, and Dandy Don Meredith. It's not the same. And I know they'll say that it is not the same because it's on cable versus on ABC. So it's a much different viewing audience. And I think the problem with it is, Eric, is that the Sunday night games that are on NBC get much more favorable matchups for fans to watch. And they've had some good games on Monday Night Football, but not the same. But I will say this, that the Monday night game coming up here at U.S. Bank Stadium between the Green Bay Packers and the Minnesota Vikings will be heavily watched because it's during the holidays. A lot of people will be home and want to see that pivotal game because it means a lot for both teams in the playoff race in the NFC, and in particular in their own division. So I see that as going to be a huge ratings boom overall for Monday Night Football. And they have a few really good games, and they've had some good ones. Last year, if you recall, they had, I believe it was the Rams and the Chiefs played a game out in the Coliseum in Los Angeles. I think it was 45, correct me if I'm wrong, 48-45 or 45-41. And it was one of the most fabulous football games in the decade, and that was on Monday Night Football. So they've had some good matchups, but it's not the same, that is for sure. It doesn't have the same cachet as NBC's Sunday Night Football, but I still think there's an audience that wants to see Monday Night Football on television, and I think the NFL would be foolish to ever take it off.
Billy Robertson, our guest, we call this segment The Business of Sports. We do it periodically here on CCO. He's the current commissioner of the WCHA, longtime marketing career with the Wild and the Ducks, the Timberwolves, and of course the Angels. And one other footnote, Sunday Night Football has the ability to flex games and make changes. Monday Night Football does not. I mean, last week the Vikings and Chargers was supposed to be a Sunday night game, but they moved it out of that primetime slot and opted for Buffalo and Pittsburgh. So that's an advantage NBC has. Billy, speaking of the Los Angeles Chargers, I was out there last week, and it was absolutely surreal to see all the purple in Carson as Viking fans took over the building, skull chants, and they were cheering for Minnesota every step of the way. It's been a problem for the Chargers. They'll see it again tomorrow when the Oakland Raiders, soon to be Las Vegas Raiders, take over the building. You've worked in that market. What can the Chargers do? They're invisible right now.
Yeah, it's a tough situation, and when they move into their new facility that they'll share with the Rams, that may help in some respects, but they need to make some blockbuster moves if they're gonna be a threat in the marketplace. There's so much going on there, as you know, plus the weather and the water, the ocean, Pacific Ocean, everything else that you can do. And they become a blip on the radar screen, and when your team isn't very competitive, that's another problem. And their quarterback situation right now with Phillip Rivers, he may not be back as a Charger, and he was really their marquee name. I believe that the fans across the country would know. So they're in a world of hurt right now, and the only way they can get out of it is by putting a winning product on the field and making some blockbuster free agent moves to help spurn that franchise, because they compete every week against the Rams in that market, both television and in the media. And if you're not winning, as you know, in the city of Angels, it's a really tough place to be. And right now they're in a tough spot, and I don't know if their head coach is going to make it past this year because of the problems they've had, and the expectation levels were a lot higher for the Los Angeles Chargers. I do believe they made a mistake by moving out of San Diego, and I think, Eric, you and I have talked about this offline, that they had that marketplace to themselves, the San Diego and the North County and some of Orange County would travel down to San Diego to see those games, and they had that to themselves. Now they're sharing a marketplace, even though they're called Los Angeles versus San Diego. They're really getting hurt by that, and I think they probably regret not getting a stadium done, and the city of San Diego has to take some of the responsibility for that, and sort of the Chargers. So I'm hopeful that this can be rectified, because it is a great franchise, one of the best uniforms and best helmets in all of the NFL, and I'd like to see them get back on top at some point.
Yeah, they left a passionate fan base in San Diego, went up I-5 to L.A., where they are greeted with yawns and apathy. Billy, the Minnesota Twins announced their caravan will start up in January. This is something they've done for decades now. I believe they're one of the first teams in Major League Baseball to establish a winter caravan. And I think it means so much in the upper Midwest, where you go through a lengthy winter and, you know, you've got these, you know, frozen days and snow on the ground. What does an organization gain when they go on a caravan, especially to places like outstate Minnesota, the Dakotas, Iowa? What are they trying to garner?
Well, I think more than anything, they're trying to get a few things. They're working on their television situation with Fox Sports North, that piece, their radio piece. They have one of the largest radio networks in all of Major League Baseball. But more importantly, they're trying to get the five-state area interested in coming to games from the outstate region for weekends, and trying to sell packages that way to come see the Yankees on a weekend, or the Red Sox, or the Angels, or whoever it is. I think that's the really important thing, as they draw from a wide range, and they draw in western Wisconsin, they draw in northern Iowa, they draw in South Dakota, North Dakota, and all of Minnesota. The Twins are the team of the upper Midwest. There's no question about it. And I think this kind of caravan, where you take your players and your broadcasters and your front office folks to the people, gives them a chance to get up close and personal. And it's a really, really strong message. And the Twins do it better than anybody. I do know that the caravan this year for the Twins is going to be, I believe it's only going to be 1 week versus 2 weeks. And that's a new wrinkle for their organization.
Yeah.
Not really sure why that is. I mean, there's costs to this, and it always accumulated with the Twins Fest event prior at the Metrodome and now at Target Field to end it all, and really tied up a nice bow into that package for fans to reach out and get a chance to get a feel and get people talking about baseball during a time when football is dominating, and basketball and hockey are going on in high school events. The Twins have a week where they can make some hay and sell some tickets for their future. And that's a really, really good thing. And nobody does it better than the Minnesota Twins with their winter caravan tour.
All right, Billy, I want to clear something up before we let you go. On December 21st, 1981, it was the final act at the Met. J-Lo's Kansas City Chiefs beat the Minnesota Vikings 10-6, and that was it. The Vikings left Met Stadium in Bloomington for the Metrodome, and Met Stadium met the wrecking ball. But there was really a mini riot after that game, as fans brought in power saws and they took away anything they could from the old Met. They were climbing the light towers, that old huge scoreboard in right center field. Now, you used to be a guy who worked at the Met, sold souvenirs. Were you part of that circus? Did you bring anything home with you?
You know, at that point I was in college, and I was in college in California, so I did not.
So that's your story.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I was not there for that. I do remember lots of stories, and I've read some reports on that game and what happened. It was total chaos at the end of the game. And fans get really nostalgic for Met Stadium. And, you know, even when you go to the Mall of America now, you can still see home plate. There's nothing really relegated to football inside the Mall of America anymore, but they do have Harmon Killebrew's seat where he hit the 520-foot home run. They have that chair located, and they have home plate in a spot in the where all the rides are. they have that piece, but there's no really remnants of the football. And that's kind of sad. And I have so many memories of working out there in the cold, seeing Bud Grant and the Viking teams play. As you know, you're a big fan of the Vikings, and I certainly am as well. And to see that go away was a tough thing. But life has moved on, and they've moved on from the Metrodome, and now they're at the terrific U.S. Bank Stadium. Even though I'd love to, like you, see it a retractable roof where they could play both indoors and outdoors, and it's still a powerful brand, the Minnesota Vikings, and those Met Stadium memories will never go away. And besides the Vikings, they had the Twins, they had the Minnesota Kicks soccer team, they had many concerts, including the Beatles in 1965.
That's right.
And they had some other events there too. So there's a lot to remember about that area right off of 494 and 24th Avenue. And our offices at the WCHA are right there. The parking lot, there's still remnants of that piece where people parked. They had 10,000 parking spots, and it was the largest parking space, the amount, in all of pro sports for many, many years. And that's something that they hung their hat on, and that's why there was so much robust tailgating going on during all those years, Eric.
Yeah, no question. And we got to let you go, Billy, but in 30 seconds, I sure wish you would have been somebody who could have pushed the Hall of Fame cause for Chuck Foreman and Jim Marshall. Those guys not part of that centennial class, and I just think it's flat-out wrong, especially for Chuck, that they won't get the Hall call.
Well, I would agree. Chuck Foreman is the ultimate pro. He led the Vikings to 3 Super Bowls and did so much for that organization. He should be in there. Jim Marshall should be in there. And I think Ed White should also be in the Hall of Fame, just to name a few from those glory years. But Chuck Foreman was the primary. He was the first prototype back that could run and also catch passes, and what an athlete he was. And I hope he still gets into the Hall of Fame at some point. And he's a wonderful man and has done so much for this area of the country, and he's still a big Viking fan.
All right, very well said. Billy, happy holidays.
All right, happy holidays to you, Eric, and all your listeners.
He's Billy Robertson. We do this periodically. It's called The Business of Sports here on CCO.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.